Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in company's profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. I'm Al Corlin, and I appreciate you joining me. I'm going to start out the show this week with my friend Louis James. Louis is involved with Casey Research. He assisted Doug in writing a book that I found to be absolutely fascinating. I'm looking at the book right now. Doug gave me an autographed copy of it when we met each other up in Vancouver here a couple of weeks ago. And Doug, if you're listening, I want you to realize that I appreciate you saying to Al Corlin, the man who I owe all my success to. I think that's a stretch, bud. I think that's a stretch. Louis, how you doing? We were talking off the air a little bit about the unreasonable, as you put it, bearishness in the resource sector right now vis-a-vis the stocks. You've been writing about that a lot recently. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, let's start this way. I've gotten an increasing amount of email from my readers with an increasingly concerned tone. I'm putting it politely.
Yeah.
I don't want to accuse anybody of panicking, but actually I sense a growing sense of panic out there. You know, what's wrong with these stocks? They keep going down. I bought more and it's down again. You know, I have to choose my words carefully because I don't want to offend anybody. In a way, this is wonderful news. It's very exciting because when there's panic, people make bad decisions.
Yeah.
And they invert the formula of buy low, sell high, having bought higher and now things are bad, they sell low. And that very thing is what creates the opportunity for disciplined speculators to buy low and sell high. You have to be able to buy when nobody else wants to, when there's blood in the streets is absolutely the best time to buy. And I'm not saying we're quite there yet, but it's looking like it. I haven't seen anybody jump out any windows this week, but it seems to me there's a lot of people on the ledge. So if there's one thing I could suggest to your listeners is that they pay close attention in the very near term. The market sentiment has turned so bearish, even though we're talking the resource sector, even though commodities prices have held on or even increased a bit of late with some of the industrial metals, this sense is just wrong-headed, and it's going to potentially create huge opportunities. If people start jumping from those ledges, you know, don't try to catch them, but you pick up the pieces when they smash. It sounds cold-hearted, but you know, somebody's going to buy those shares off weekends when they come into the market. It might as well be people who get it.
Well, that's very true. You know, the situation we're in right now reminds me of a couple of my personal situations. One of them is, I remember in 2008 and 2009, you know, Kathy and I moved up to this neck of the woods in 2008. You know, I still had a house that I had to deal with down in the Vancouver, Washington area, and we were leasing a house up here in Semiahmoo at a pretty good price, unfortunately, I have to say. And, you know, I was seeing cash flow kind of begin to dwindle a bit, and I was looking at our investments, and I thought to myself, boy, this is really kind of an interesting time, but I did exactly what you're saying, and, you know, I got a couple of years on you, Mr. James, so, you know, I'm not saying I'm smarter, but I certainly have a few more battle scars than you do. You know, and in 2008 and 2009, I kind of held the course, and interestingly enough, 2010 was the best year on our tax statement that we'd ever had. I mean, 2010 was a phenomenal year. I'm in a situation right now where I've done probably half a dozen or so private placements in the last, I don't know, 6 or 7 months. Just got a statement from the firm that we work with there, Sprott Asset Management, and we're down 50% or a little bit more in most of those private placements. Am I bailing and basically, you know, closing up shop? Absolutely not. These are good companies. They're going to come back.
Yeah, I remember 2008 vividly for two reasons. One is that, you know, when the whole sector sort of went vertical, negative, went into free fall, and all those stocks in October, you know, September was bad, October was worse, and November, just the stock charts seemed to go vertical, downwards.
Right.
And people were just, you know, the emails I got, I never got more hate mail in my life. I was putting in big black capital letters, you know, best buy in the newsletter on some of these picks that were, you know, 5-baggers and 10-baggers within 2 years because that was the time to buy. So that experience strikes me so strongly. It was so frustrating because I was making these recommendations and I knew that if people would follow them, they'd make money. And I was right.
Right.
I know that so many people didn't, right? They either were too afraid or too illiquid.
Right.
And they just didn't act. And that kills me to think of it happening again. You know, you see history repeat, you know it's coming. And so, and I'd really want to urge your readers, at the very least, don't buy high, sell low. I mean, if the company you're invested in runs out of money, runs into a permitting roadblock or some other reason to sell.
Yeah.
Of course, you sell. You don't hold on to something that's not going to make it.
Right.
But if the story is the same, or even better, they're producing positive results. Many companies have been doing that so far this year, and the stocks are off, even though there's more value in the company. So if the company's got a project of merit, money to pursue it, management that knows what they're doing, and it goes on sale, that's just an opportunity to buy. And so, but even if you can't do that, if you're all in, say you get it, but you're all in, or you're just not confident enough to do that, you know, for Pete's sake, don't go selling low.
No, I would agree 100%. I think that the amount of fear that's going on right now in the financial sector, fear and confusion, I think is really, really interesting. You know, it's the president's crowing about the the very high level that the Dow Jones Industrial Average is at. Well, people like yourself and myself who are basically, you know, of the Austrian economic mind, you know, realize that that's crap, you know, that it just can't stay this way because it's all smoke and mirrors. And we take it to the next step and we realize, well, you know, for thousands and thousands of years, people have gone to precious metals as an investment of last resort. It's going to happen again. And the first place that we're going to see that, maybe not the first place that we're going to see it, but we're certainly going to see it, I think, very definitely, in the resource sector vis-a-vis the stocks. What sectors within hard assets do you particularly like right now, Louis?
Well, I've never been a huge fan of platinum, as even though it's a precious metal and for, you know, many years it was more expensive than gold.
Sure.
Because it's also an industrial metal, and you can't tell platinum when you look at it. You know, even though your platinum card is in theory a better card than your gold card in your wallet, your Olympic medal, the highest one is a gold medal, and there's a reason for that. Everybody can see what gold is when they look at it.
Yeah.
Whereas platinum's just another silvery metal. It could be aluminum for all most people know.
Right.
It's just hard for them to tell. So, I'm not as keen on platinum. I like gold and silver. They move together much more closely than gold and platinum does.
Mm-hmm.
So for precious metals, that's it. But the thing to stress there is that I own these not as a speculation. I don't own gold because I think gold is going higher. I own gold because I'm sure the dollar is going lower.
Right.
And gold protects me from that. Gold
right.
is for prudence.
Right.
If I want to make money, you know, and gold is up, well, that just means everything else has gotten more expensive, too. I haven't really made money. I'm treading water at best.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what gold is for. That's what I want it for. If I want to make money, I want to buy the stocks. And,
right.
you know, we've talked about precious metal stocks. I would say, though, that at this time, you know, the BS numbers that you mentioned to Obama's thing, there is an era of recovery out there, and people are believing more and more in the recovery. I don't, you don't, but more and more people are, and that can, in the short term, be a self-fulfilling prophecy where,
yeah.
you know, because people believe it, the economy does, in fact, get better. And in that being the case, I do think there are short-term opportunities in industrial metals and nickel and copper and so on. I think we may have talked about this a little bit last time. It's just you need to be very careful entering these. Make sure you buy something highly liquid that you can get out of real quick because that could turn around very quickly.
Well, that's something I learned a long time ago, and that's, you know, I don't give investment advice on this show, and unless my guests are registered investment advisors, I certainly don't want them to give investment advice either. But I have to say that, yes, in a major, major bear market in the resource sector, all of a sudden you see the bids completely erase themselves, and you might own a great company, but there is absolutely no bid for the stock. And when that's the case, boy, there is nothing but trouble. We have a banner on our website that I want to direct your attention to, and it is alluding to what I think is a really, really good situation that Casey Research is involved in. It's called the Hard Asset Alliance. It's a great way to buy gold, silver, platinum, and palladium. Louis, always a pleasure, bud. Thank you so much.
Al Corland's firm, A.B. Corland and Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corland Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
On air, online, and on demand, we are the GCN Radio Network.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Your freedoms are on the line. The Second Amendment is in danger. How soon before your freedoms are taken away? What can you not live without? What is your greatest dependency? Is it your guns? Is it your home? No, it's food. It all boils down to the food supply. Tyrannical governments control people by controlling their food supply. Don't be dependent. Be self-sufficient. Don't wait for the government to feed you. Feed yourself. I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Do like Alex has done and get a supply of food from eFoods Direct. It's the best long-term storable food on the planet. Get the popular Mega Patriot Pack free, a 24-day supply of food plus stove, cook pot, and fuel. Call 800-250-1857 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get up to 20 Mega Patriot Packs free with purchase. Build your food supply, be in control, be self-sufficient, and be a patriot. Call 800-250-1857 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack today.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Okay, somebody else who I've taken very seriously over the years is Relyn Bailey. I met Relyn when she was involved with Nova Gold. She's the consummate professional in terms of the investor relations business. She's always worked for top quality companies. We are involved with Relyn in two of the companies that she is, you know, a direct employee of. One of them is New Zealand Energy. Now, I have to say at the outset, in the interest of full disclosure, I am a shareholder in New Zealand Energy. I am also, in the interest of full disclosure, going to tell you that 3 days from now, I'm going to sell a little bit of stock in Corvus Gold, only because I think it's probably a good time to do that, and I can rebuy my position. But rest assured, I'm not selling anything at all in terms of New Zealand energy at this point, in spite of the fact that the stock has come off quite a bit. Rilyn, last time I looked, your stock was trading around 75 cents. What's going on?
It's rough for the whole market out there right now. I mean, all the junior companies, at least we're not seeing the $3 billion write-offs that some of the senior companies are having, but it's a rough market out there. But New Zealand has, had its difficulties over the last few months. And I think it's mostly just, we were hoping and the market was hoping that our production would be higher at this point. Absolutely. You know, the first couple of wells that we drilled came on at such high rates, and they were the best wells ever drilled out of that formation in New Zealand, out of that Mount Messenger formation. And they've declined quite substantially. Now we're producing about 300 barrels a day from our Copper Milky wells and about another 125, 150 barrels a day out of our fourth discovery, our Waitapu well. So we've still got good production rates, but we were hoping it would be higher and the market was hoping it would be higher. That's the reality of the oil and gas industry. You drill wells and they do tend to decline. And one of the complexities that we're working with in New Zealand is that it's just such a new, it's not a new industry there. There's been oil and gas exploration and production in New Zealand since the 1890s. Really started to ramp up in the mid-1950s, 1960s. But there's still only been 500 wells drilled in the entire country. So that's equivalent to about 2 weeks of exploration in Alberta. So
yeah.
We just don't have a big data set from which to draw analog. So, when people say, well, what are your decline rates going to be? Well, we can only look at the 40 or 50 wells that have been drilled around us and try to predict based on that information. But it's not a very big data set to draw from. So we're still, learning every day. We're learning from what we do. We're learning from what our peers do. And that will allow us to be more accurate going forward. So I think that's the key thing in the market right now, is just that production rates are lower than people had hoped. But that's why I'm trying to keep people focused on, the go-forward plan. This is it's a new company. It's very early days. We've been around for less than 2 years. We've only drilled 10 wells in New Zealand so far. We've only got results from six of those. And so, and we've got 140 wells on our drilling inventory just in the Mount Messenger formations that have yet to be drilled. And then additional wells in the deeper targets, in the Tikarangis and the Kapunis, that have great potential for very high flow rates. The Tikarangi formation, for example, had been produced historically just north of us, and some of the wells are producing 5,000, 10,000 barrels a day. And I think that's what I'm just trying to keep people focused on, that this is a long-term growth strategy, long-term growth story here, right? We're surrounded by oil and gas production, so we know that the region is highly prospective, where our permits are in a very clear north-south trend with very significant discoveries all around us. One of our peer companies, Kia Petroleum, just made a discovery, announced a discovery today that's just north of us. So every time someone else makes a discovery, that just adds more credibility and more likelihood to the fact that we will continue to find oil and gas and continue to grow the company. And that's our focus, is exploration, put the money into the ground, find new deposits, grow the production and cash flow story.
I am very, very intrigued with the energy sector. I don't know as much about it as I do the precious metal sector, but I want to go on notice right now and saying that 3 days or perhaps shortly after that, I'm going to be enlarging my position in New Zealand energy. And this is not investment advice, and for God's sakes, I'm not telling anybody this is what they need to do. I'm just telling you what I'm doing. But the reason I'm doing that is, in the energy sector, you've got basically peanut oil and gas companies that are trading for about the same price that New Zealand energy is trading at right now.
Well, and the great thing for us is we're working in New Zealand, and all of the oil sells at Brent pricing. So, people, when they compare us to the Alberta companies, they're getting WTI, or they're getting even Edmonton pricing, which is a significant discount. So, and we're producing on average 100 barrels per day out of our wells. Well, the average in Alberta, 80% of the wells in Alberta produce 12 barrels a day. So, yeah, they might produce for 20 years, and ours could produce for 20 years. I mean, time will tell, but 100 barrels per day at Brent pricing is a pretty nice well. So, if we can get into those deeper formations and find a 5,000 barrel per day well, well, fantastic. That's a company changer for us, right? But if we can keep drilling 100 barrel per day wells, there's nothing wrong with that. And then we've got the East Coast, and we haven't even talked about that, those East Coast shales. And we'll be drilling two wells into the East Coast shales this year. And that's a completely untapped, that's the next frontier, right? With huge prospectivity, and nobody's drilled an exploration well into those shales yet. One of our peer companies is exploring right next door to us, and are supposed to be drilling a well into into those shales in the next month or two. And if they make a discovery, I would expect that we would trade in tandem with them, just like we tend to trade down if they have a bad day. You know, we're all working so closely together that we learn from each other and we, you know, we feed off each other's successes. Absolutely.
The one thing I want to stress is you guys were actually a producing company very, very shortly after you went public just a few months ago.
You know, yeah, and when I look back at what we've accomplished in just 2 years, I'm pretty proud of our success so far. You're right, we did make our first discovery just right after the IPO, had that in production just a few months later. We've managed to advance three more wells to production now, so we've got four wells in production. I'm also really proud of our community relationships. I mean, that is so key, and in the resource industry, you have to have community support for your project. And we have one of the most comprehensive cooperation agreements that any oil and gas industry has entered into with our First Nations partner in New Zealand. And I think that speaks volumes about the integrity of the company and our commitment to social and environmental sustainability. But it also means that it's going to be that much easier for us to move ahead. Of all the permits that we've applied for in New Zealand, we've received all of those without any appeals or any, you know, issues. And not all of our peer companies can say that. And so I think that the reputation is key when you're trying to advance these properties.
In full disclosure, I am also a shareholder of New Zealand Energy. I picked up a few shares just a few weeks ago, and mostly just because I like the fundamentals of the company. First of all, the past 3 quarters have been positive cash flow. They are still, if I'm correct, on track with the acquisition of Origin Energy. And just watching the Brent oil price here, it's been steadily moving up over the last couple of months. And Rylan, maybe you can confirm this, but I know that by the end of Q1, you're completing this 8-well drill program, so we should have some results coming out maybe in the next couple months.
Yeah, we should actually have results quite soon. What we're waiting for right now is the results from 2 wells that we're completing at the Arakamu site and the well that we're drilling at the Wairiri site, and so that will be a key catalyst for us in the next couple of weeks, hopefully. I should clarify that we're not actually acquiring Origin Energy in its entirety. That would be much more than we wanted to chew right now, but we're acquiring some assets from Origin Energy, and that's also another catalysts coming out because there's huge exploration potential on those assets, not only for new exploration targets, but for uphole completion opportunities. So wells that have already been drilled to a deeper formation, but they have never produced from the shallower formations that we're focused on. So we can just re-enter one of those wells, perforate our target formation, and hopefully get that into production. And all the oil and gas gathering pipelines are in place to very quickly tie that into a producing well. So lots of catalysts that will be coming in the near term. And hopefully once people see that, you know, the exploration strategy is moving ahead and we're starting to add to that production and cash flow, we'll see the stock start to turn around.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. Now, when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at Terraganics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Radio advertising on GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is simple, affordable, and reaches millions. How do we do it? Let's break it down. First, the simple part. You tell us about your business. Then our expert radio copywriters write your copy. We hire professional voice talent.
Hello there, I'm a professional announcer.
And then produce your ad with just the right music and feel. Voila! Simple. How affordable? 60-second ads on GCN are the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And that brings us to reach. Millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 700 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. That's it. A one-stop shop. Creative radio ads. Very affordable rates. Millions of potential customers and customer service that can't be beat. See our current list of satisfied advertisers at GCNlive.com. Then shoot us an email, advertise@GCNlive.com.
I lost 18 pounds in just 4 days. Hi, I'm James Zetta. If you're like me, you've already tried and failed at many diet and weight loss plans. The 18 and 4 weight loss plan requires no exercising, no diet pills or additives, no laxatives, no meal replacements, and no diet drinks. The 18 and 4 program is crystal clear with a day-to-day, step-by-step, and meal-to-meal guide. If you're not satisfied with your results, I will give you my 30-day full money-back guarantee. Go to 18and4.com. That's the number 18, I-N, the number 4.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
My name is Stephen Hewer. After 22 years of nutritional counseling, I've observed that most brain malfunctions have at their roots some form of toxicity and brain damage. So whether it is poor memory, poor focus, lack of creative thinking, or more serious matters like inability to focus, speak normally, or remember things, the emphasis to getting one's brain working optimally needs to be on detoxification. One World Way supports your body's number one means of detoxification, which is glutathione production.
My name is Angie, and my son has suffered from borderline autism and constipation. I got him on One World Way, and in 2 months, his constipation is gone. He's become friendlier. He can carry on a normal conversation with me, and he's made his first friend. He's doing great, and he looks forward to taking One World Way every day. You could offer him a present or a cake, and he would prefer the One World Way.
Go to OneWorldWay.com. That's OneWorld, W-H-E-Y.com. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. You're continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. Jeff and I are chatting with a very, very interesting gentleman right now. The CPA, he is associated with a firm in Eastern Oregon, and also I believe you have offices in Western Idaho. The name of the firm is Nichols Accounting. Bob is a regular listener to our show, and Bob came to our attention when he sent me an email talking about what they are doing for their employees and their 401k plans. Interestingly enough, they're including precious metals. Jeff, you know, you're a former tax attorney. What would you ask Bob?
Well, Bob, you know, I would just say on behalf of our listeners, you know, a lot of folks are interested in gold and silver, both physical and through, let's say, mining stocks, but they also tend to have 401ks and IRAs and other forms of retirement or estate planning. And they imagine most of our listeners, like me, are a little bit murky on the rules and how you might go about incorporating precious metals into 401ks and IRAs generally. Can you speak to this, you know, to introduce our audience?
Sure, absolutely. I'm going to speak to the 401k plan specifically, but, you know, a 401k plan is set up, and if you set one up properly, it can be self-directed. So that's what we've chosen to do. We've allowed our employees to self-direct, and with that feature in the 401k plan, we've also included a Roth feature. So we allow our employees to tell us basically where they would like their money that's taken out of their check each week or every 2 weeks to go. And we've allowed them the ability to buy precious metals from a local bullion dealer here in town, local gold and silver guy. So we take the check down there. Each person has their own specific account. We pick up the silver, gold, whatever it is that they're purchasing that week, take it to our specific lockbox that we're the trustee of, and it sits there and it's available to them, you know, mostly as an insurance policy, because none of the folks that we had as employees had any exposure to precious metals, and, you know, they were wanting it. So we were able to design a feature that allowed them to do this.
I'm curious about one thing, Bob. You know, a lot of the folks who I know who are, you know, pretty conservative, pretty black and white CPAs, and boy, I wouldn't want to work with a CPA who was anything other than that, but they are, for lack of better terms, they're not real gold bugs. Why don't you guys introduce gold to your employees, or just the option of gold to your employees?
Well, as you know, the financial situation in the country is not great, you know, with all the liquidity that's been flushed into the system. We just have some folks that were really uncomfortable with that, and they wanted a way to be able to buy precious metals inside their 401k instead of letting it go to the brokerage firm and being invested in basically paper assets. Now, you know, I said that it's a self-directed IRA, and so those folks could also be purchasing mining shares and things like that on their own. They can certainly do anything they would like with their 401k dollars.
Now, Bob, do the rules require that your firm, as the employer, be the custodian of the physical metals that you buy? I mean, I understand that your employees have access, but are you ultimately the custodian?
We are the custodian of those assets.
Is that an IRS requirement or a 401k requirement?
It is a 401k requirement that the trustee has control over that account, you know, the safe deposit box or whatever it is that we're going to keep the precious metals in.
Well, it sounds to me like there might be an advantage in that if you have a smaller organization, you tend to know your employees, they tend to know you, and they know that they can gain physical access if they had to. I just wonder what your thoughts would be if you worked for a big company, and, you know, would you want your 401k administrator to sort of hold your precious metals if that was a faraway person or a faraway place?
You know, I think it would be a little more difficult, Jeff, to do something like that. You know, anything's possible as far as assets inside there, but it really works in, like you said, small employer situations where, you know, I'm a trustee of this 401k and, you know, there's 25 people that you're keeping track of versus 500 or 5,000.
How many people, Bob, within your organization take advantage of this by purchasing not only physical but also purchasing mining shares? I'm kind of curious about that.
There's about a quarter of our employees do that.
That's really interesting. You know, I've been involved in mining shares for 35 years. The first 28 years I was involved in doing SEC reporting for little mining companies. And so I learned, you know, really what due diligence is all about. And I really learned, you know, exactly what you have to look for, in mining companies before you really decided to invest or not invest in them. And SEC reporting is an interesting thing in that under penalty of law, all the information has to be correct. And so, you know, you've got to be pretty, pretty careful with what you tell the government, for lack of better terms. But I am very, very bullish right now because of my entire career I've been involved in this industry. I'm really bullish on the future of gold and of mining shares. And a lot of people, you know, at cocktail parties, what have you, they look at me like I'm crazy. What is Bob Kimball think? Just a personal opinion. I mean, are you bullish on gold, and are you bullish on mining shares?
I really am, and the reason being is, where else are you going to go as a regular investor to get exposure to something that isn't going to go away and is going to gain value just because of, you know, the store of wealth that lies in gold and silver.
Jeff, I find that really, really to be interesting to be coming from, you know, a certified public accountant. I mean, these guys are, and I'm not being disparaging, Bob, when I say this, but most CPAs who I know are very, very, I guess I would use the word, conservative is the wrong word, but, you know, they really seem to think that the Dow Jones Industrial Average type markets are absolutely the only place to be. And I really don't agree with that. I mean, what's your experience been, Jeff?
Well, it's funny. You're talking about people who actually look at numbers. So what you're trying to say is they're a little more sober maybe than the average investor.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, Bob, let me just ask you a slightly different question about gold and silver. You know, obviously with the price increases they've enjoyed over the last decade or so, they've become viewed much more as an investment. I would argue that they're really a store of value and a hedge, not an investment. But nonetheless, don't you think that the tax treatment of physical gold and silver is absurd? I mean, from my perspective, at worst, they should get ordinary capital gains treatment upon sale, or at best they should be treated as money and just, you know, I know the Fed doesn't view it that way, but I really resent the notion that sales of physical gold and silver should get collectible tax treatment by the IRS.
Got a minute and a half, Bob.
Yeah, that's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, it, you know, 28% on gold and silver and precious metals and collectibles. It's ridiculous. It's like you said, it should get capital gain treatment, because that's what it is. It's a capital asset that's sitting in an account. It's no different than land or other capital type of assets. You know, the beautiful thing about a 401k with a Roth feature is you stick your precious metals in that Roth account, and if you need to sell them someday, the tax has been paid, and you know, you're golden, you're out of the woods, so you can avoid the 28% federal rate and whatever state tax rate that you might have to be incurred.
Curdy,
Al, I got to tell you, I really agree. People aren't buying Krugerrands for sentimental or collectible value; they're buying them as investments.
I would agree 100%. Bob, thank you so much. Stick around, ladies and gentlemen. Jeff and I are going to be right back.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
To have a fighting chance against cold and flu bugs, get the world's best garlic extract, Allicin Plus C. Fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi with Allicin Plus C. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allicin Plus C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allicin Plus C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allicin Plus C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Allicin Plus C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Allicin Plus C. To order, call 855-ALLICIN. That's 855-255-4246. Or go to AllicinPlus.com. Spelled AllicinPlus.com. Get Allicin Plus C from Affinity Health Products.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig.
Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LaCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LaCig.com. And LaCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LaCig.com, spelled LECIG.com. LaCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even if I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months, simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Hey, welcome back. Here to close out the first hour of the weekend edition of our show. I've got Jeff with me and also Corey. You know, I found the last segment to be very, very interesting in that Bob is a pretty successful CPA, and he really does see the value of precious metals, whether you're talking about the commodities themselves or whether you're talking about the securities involved in that particular industry. And, you know, that just, you know, it's more fuel on my fire that, you know, when you have people like that who are as optimistic, for lack of better terms, about the future of these commodities, that it's something that I think that we all really have to consider. You know, something else that we have to consider is Jack Lew, the gentleman who's soon going to be the Treasury Secretary. He made a very, very interesting comment that Corey brought to our attention last Thursday. Here's what it's all about. Quote, Treasury Secretary nominee Jack Lew made a stunning and fantastic claim at his confirmation hearing, namely that the too big to fail or systemic risk threat from the mega banks no longer existed, that the problem had been solved by the Dodd-Frank legislation. Well, I tell you, Bloomberg came out with an article that Corey sent me and basically said that they felt that the Dodd-Frank legislation really didn't do much of anything in terms of solving that particular problem. Jeff, what do you think about that? I mean, that seems to me to be a rather ludicrous statement for the soon-to-be Treasury Secretary to make. I mean, I find that really, really more than stunning. What do you think?
Well, Al, he's a Democrat, and he has to sort of stick to the party line, which is that Dodd-Frank is a good legislation. But it's interesting to me that Richard Fisher, who's president of the Dallas Fed Bank, made some statements very much to the contrary that says, no, we have not solved the problem of too big to fail banks. And I would say Fisher is the Fed chair who's closest to Ron Paul in his outlook. Obviously, he doesn't go as far as Ron. He still thinks that the Fed has a role. But I would say he's closest to us in terms of wanting to have more of a strong dollar policy. And you know, he's been opposed to a lot of the quantitative easing that's gone on. So he's seen very much as sort of a fiscal hawk and a dollar hawk. So I would trust him far more than I would trust Jack Lew. But, you know, what Fisher understands but maybe can't say, and certainly what Austrians understand, is that the problem of too big to fail banks is caused by the Fed. It's not caused by a lack of legislation or regulation. The Fed is the mother's milk that makes, you know, that makes Fed-connected banks able to grow to the size that they are, and also, of course, our fractional reserve system. But, you know, it's really interesting that the Bloomberg article came out had Representative John Campbell, who's somebody that Ron knows very well. They both were subcommittee chairmen on the banking committee. And Campbell's got a legislative approach to fix this. But, you know, I really think that both sides are missing the point. You know, the problem with too big to fail banks is the Fed. It's not legislation. And certainly Dodd-Frank's not going to save us from the next crisis.
I think personally, and Corey, I'd like you to weigh in on this thing also, but I think that personally the problem with the too big to fail bank concept really is much more simple. I mean, yes, I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. That's obviously a very important factor. But I think it all really goes back to, I would go so far as to call it criminal activity in the financial sector. I mean, it is amazing to me that some of these things have occurred in our society, you know, and those occurrences, unfortunately, have given the term capitalism a bad name to those people who don't really understand what capitalism is. Corey, from your perspective as a chartered accountant, I mean, fundamentally, I really have to agree with the legislation that John Campbell wants to bring forward. What do you think about that?
Well, I do agree with what John Campbell's trying to do and get everybody back on track here, thinking about what the problem is, because quite frankly, looking at the numbers, three of the four largest U.S. banks, which include J.P. Morgan Chase, Bank of America, and Wells Fargo, are bigger today than they were back in 2007. And further on Jeff's point that the Fed allows this to happen, where do you think all this money's coming from, and what's allowing them to get bigger and bigger, but essentially the bailouts and the money that the Fed continues to give these big banks? And it's true that Glass-Steagall, or I think we need to go back to the Glass-Steagall approach where we separate the banking from investment. These banks should not be allowed to take on people's savings, and with the fractional policy and just essentially investing so much money that people are giving them because it's supposed to be their savings. This is not money that's supposed to be invested in risky investments or even creating investments and then investing in those. I think that John Campbell is onto something here. It's definitely not the final, we don't have all the details on it. It's not the end. It's not going to solve the situation. However, moving forward, we're going to see more of this. And Jack Lew is entirely wrong by saying that Dodd-Frank has dealt with this issue, because quite simply, it has not worked. And another issue that I wanted to touch on is that these two big to fail banks did help, or well, I don't want to say help, but they did lead us to the major crash back in 08. However, it was these mid-tier banks like Lehman Brothers and Bear Stearns that actually created and got really greedy and really aggressive by creating these mortgage-backed securities, which the banks essentially got tied into because of the working together that these banks can do to essentially prop each other up by inflating their earnings and sharing money between themselves and not letting it funnel down to the rest of the system and really security for the people.
Jeff, you know, you made an interesting point about this gentleman, and I guess the one comment that I would have is that he is not definitely not saying take the government out of the deal. I mean, he says, for example, he doesn't say, but under his bill, if the price of a bank's credit default swaps increased more than half a point, the Fed would have to take steps to assess the firm's soundness. Well, it sounds to me like a little play on words, soundness and sounds to me. I mean, it sounds to me like he's looking for the Fed to continue to play a fairly significant role in the U.S. banking system.
Yeah, unfortunately, what Mr. Campbell's calling for here is more government.
Right.
He wants to create a regulation that requires banks that get above a certain size to hold an additional layer of capital, and this would be in the form of some kind of long-term bonds that would have some sort of 80% preference upon liquidation if that happened in bankruptcy or otherwise. So, you know, I see this as missing the point. At the end of the day, we have to go back and say, what makes banks good, what makes banks bad? Well, in the old days, banks had sound business practices, and they didn't make bad or shady loans, and they were rigorous in their analysis of debt, and yeah, as a result, they attracted depositors. In other words, you know, McDonald's has to attract you by making a burger that you like. Well, a bank is supposed to attract you as a depositor by being a sound bank.
Mm-hmm.
But between the layers of the Fed creating basically money out of nothing and the FDIC and all these other levels of regulation, people have been given sort of a false security blanket, and they don't look at the banks. They don't look at their bank the way they should as a consumer, as an investor, as a debtor. So, you know, I understand what Mr. Campbell's trying to do, and he may view this as a real-world approach, but to me, it doesn't get back to the central issue, which is why is it that banks are able to leverage as much as they can and as much as they do? Well, mostly it's because the Fed makes the cost of money so cheap to them.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm an idealist. You know, at my age, you can kind of afford to be an idealist. But I would really like to see the banking system go back to some very basic fundamentals. And those very basic fundamentals don't include any infusion whatsoever of governmental policy. It's, you know, free markets, in my opinion, are the only long-term solution to the malaise that we're in right now. And, boy, I tell you, this to me is just more and more and more government intervention, government sticking their foot in the deal. All right, who wants to take the last word on this one? We got a minute.
Well, one thing is for sure, that if Jack Lew becomes a Treasury Secretary, we're not going to get anything new in the way of policy. I mean, this guy is just more of the same Keynesianism. And at the end of the day, these guys really don't believe in markets and capital. They believe in regulation and in the Fed. They believe in something for nothing. And so they want to create an unholy situation by making the cost of borrowing money far too cheap. And then as a result, a bunch of bank and brokerage actors go out and make a bunch of bad mortgage-backed securities, in other words, malinvestment that they would never make in a rational credit or lending environment where interest rates were market rates. So, you know, they create one problem, and now they want to compound it by creating things like Dodd-Frank and this new bill that Mr. Campbell has introduced to sort of try to put a Band-Aid on the problem. But they never want to get at the root of the problem itself, because that would cause them to have to challenge their orthodoxy, which is that banking is just another business and it ought to be governed by market forces, which have proven time and time again over decades and decades to be the best regulator and the fairest way to go.
I've heard that someplace before. Stick around, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be back with you for the second hour of the weekend edition.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Did you know that gold and silver contain healing properties? It's true. Since the beginning of mankind's history, gold and silver have not only been used as real money, but also for healing our minds and bodies. UtopiaSilver.com is your leading source for colloidal silver and colloidal gold, offering supplement protocols that can heal and enhance your health. Protocols for boosting the immune system, insomnia, yeast infections, herpes, and countering the effects of vaccinations and radiation poisoning. And now UtopiaSilver.com encourages the use of real money with this buy one, get one free real money special. For details on your colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements, call 888-213-4338 and ask about 50% off for first-time customers. That's 888-213-4338 or visit UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com, fighting for liberty and healing one American at a time.
Healthy.